I'm diffusing some oil here so that you can have a multi-sensory experience. Right, so this morning we're going to talk about mother wounds, which also seems a bit of a deep and possibly scary subject. So I'm going to start off by just reading some verses about God's care for us so that we can just feel wrapped up in his love. So it says in Psalm 4:8, "Now because of you, Lord, I will lie down in peace, and sleep comes at once, for no matter what happens, I will live unafraid." And then in Isaiah 66, verse 13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I'll," meaning God, "I'll comfort you." And in Psalm 131, verse 2, it says, "I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." And the word weaned there means satisfied. And again in Psalm 91:4, it says, "His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm." So just, there is a lot of verses there that God is our protector. He's for us. He's holding us. So I just want to ask that the Lord will hold our hearts this morning as we delve into this sensitive subject. And I just want to declare that you are safe here, because this may touch on some areas of wounding in your own life. So a few weeks ago, Carrie shared with us about father wounds, but that's only half the story. So today we're going to look at mother wounds and also mother love. So it's like what the ideal is. And for me, this feels much more personal, not just because I have a mother, I did have a father as well, but because I am a mother. And having sort of looking at this myself, I realised that there are many ways that I am imperfect as a mother, and there are ways that I've wounded my own children. So that sort of is a bit challenging to look at. The thing is that mothers are the most important figure in a child's life, from the 9 months in the womb through the early years of life. And but just as broken men wound their children, as we heard in the Misty Edwards song, I think it was played a couple of weeks ago, wounded women also wound their children. And unfortunately, we are all wounded, so none of us are perfect. So not only are we affected by our mother's wounds, but we can also inherit generational trauma that is passed down through our parents. So there's like a complete whammy on that one. It's not just a double whammy, it can be a multiple whammy of generational trauma can affect how we parent ourselves. So I was very aware of the mothering lack that I experienced in my own life. And so I was determined to do things differently. So when I was expecting Beth, and when I was, even before I was pregnant, I used to read practical parenting magazines. I used to like read lots of books. I was really determined to do the best I could. And I learned how to teach your children different things and just all the practical ways that you can be a really, really good mother. But actually, there were so many things I didn't understand about emotional development. And also, the big sort of clangor in this is what we judge, either we draw to us or we become. So I had spent most of my life judging my mother for abandoning me and causing abandonment issues. And so therefore, what happened in my life was that I caused abandonment issues to my children, which is... really, it really hurts me that I've done the one thing that I really wished I wouldn't do. And it's been difficult and challenging to repair the wounds that I've caused. But the good thing is that God is utterly devoted to our healing and restoration. And we are created, both men and women are created in God's image. And so the blueprint for mothers and fathers is found in God. So mothers play a hugely defining role in the lives of their children. And we learnt last week that a father bestows identity onto his children. So who I am. But a mother bestows self-worth. She gives answers to the questions that are in the heart of a child. The questions of, do I have value? Does my life count? Am I significant? Do I have something to offer? Am I worthy of love? These are questions that the mother uniquely answers. And she answers these questions even before a child is conceived. Because unborn children are aware, and the environment that they are conceived into has already been created by what the mother has experienced, what the mother is feeling, and what she's inherited through her generational line. So unfortunately, wounding can start before conception, if a pregnancy is unwanted, if it's unexpected, or if it's brought about by violent means. I'm sure we can all think of things that could happen during those 9 months that could affect a child. If a child is one of a twin or a multiple birth, but they don't all survive, that can cause a problem. Anything that the mother experiences through those 9 months gets transferred. I know a few weeks ago I was talking to you about how we carry memories in our cells. So even though an unborn child may not be able to cognitively understand what has happened to them or understand the emotions and the things that are coming through to them, they store that memory and it all becomes part of their subconscious and their unconscious. So everything that is happening in the mother's life affects the growing fetus. Bruce Lipton, who is a PhD in cellular biology, says, "The development of the fetus is determined by our emotions. Parents are genetic engineers. They transmit to the fetus human emotions such as fear, anger, love, and hope. And a human being's personality is determined beginning in the wound." In the wound. Womb. Not in the wound. In the womb. This is, it possibly is in the wound as well. So the womb. Womb. Sets the stage for a child's life. So this was a really interesting fact that I learned that has just like blown my mind. So if a mother is happy, excited and hopeful, then the blood vessels to the developing child are dilated and open and the baby gets all that it needs. However, if a mother is worried, depressed, anxious or afraid, then the blood vessels are constricted and the developing baby suffers lack. So this physical lack leads to feelings of, I am not going to get enough. I'm not going to be taken care of. Will I be born into a safe environment where my needs will be taken care of or not? Is the world that I'm being born into a safe place? And these are not cognitive thoughts. This is just like fundamental feelings that the unborn child will begin to develop. So if you don't think that you're going to get enough, or in fact, if you don't actually get enough, then you will grow up with a tendency to overindulge. You will fill that lack with whatever you can, and you may self-soothe to deal with the pain. So this is where addictions can start, or an unhealthy relationship with food, people, or things. So not having enough leads to rejection, which therefore leads to the idea that I am not enough myself, which then can lead to feelings of inferiority. And this happened in my own life. I was born with a deep frown on my forehead. And there's photos of me when I'm a newborn baby and I'm just like, oh, scrunched up. And then in my early 30s, I had a series of really awful sinus problems. And repeatedly, I'd just get this horrible sinus pain that would be like here and right down my nose. And so I eventually was fed up with the pain and I asked somebody to pray for me, thinking that they were just going to pray for healing. But actually, in the process of the praying, God showed me that I was born frowning because I was born worried. And I was worried because I didn't trust that my mum could look after me. And in fact, she was quite incapable of looking after me in many ways. I know I've said this repeatedly in this setting, but my mum was bipolar. She spent a lot of her time being depressed. She had quite a lot of insecurities herself, so her own self-worth was not particularly good, and she spent a lot of her time sleeping. So my memory of being a small child is of her asleep and me wishing that she'd wake up and just feeling abandoned. And so somehow, as a developing child in her womb, I picked up these feelings that she wasn't feeling confident that she could do it, or I don't know how that transmitted, but it was something that I was born with. So what I had to do is I had to repent of judging my mother, and I've probably done that repeatedly over the years on many occasions, and I had to forgive her. And then what I did was I asked God to give me truths about his care for me. And those really just sort of were like life to me. And I don't actually remember exactly what they were, but I remember him just like dropping truths into me that became like life and light into this dark situation. And then in this process, I was again supernaturally on a different occasion, I was taken to back to the occasion of my birth. And on that time, I was still sort of feeling this fear and this concern that I wouldn't be cared for. But actually in this picture, Jesus took hold of me and he grabbed me and he just wrapped me up and he just showed me how much he loved me and how much he could care for me. And he just, again, worked through the process of healing for that. And what has happened is that the sinus pain has stopped. Since I had that very first prayer, I never, ever have experienced that pain again. And again, we have learned recently that we carry trauma in our body, and quite often that can manifest as pain. So for me, my fear and my worry somehow got stuck in my head and began to manifest as pain. So what also can happen is that if a child experiences prenatal trauma, then that massively increases the likelihood of birth trauma. So if a child is already suffering, it then can cause the process of birth to be difficult. And then birth trauma can also cause trauma. So it can lead to a lack of bonding. If, you know, particularly if the mother has been in a lot of pain, if she's had like lots of anesthetic, like an epidural or lots of Entonox or Pethidine, this can create sort of a separation when the baby is born. If a child is put into ICU, when they're very small, they can feel separated from their mother. There can be a lot of fear and trauma and abandonment that then adds on to the prenatal trauma that they've already experienced. So in the first 3 years of life, a child's sense of self and self-worth is very much established. And again, if you remember me talking a few weeks ago, it's very much on a very base, unfiltered level. So anything that happens to a child in that very early stage is completely unfiltered by reasoning and logic. So they make connections and assumptions about what their life looks like based on these very crucial experiences. So what the role of a mother is, and we're going to look at this in some detail, is primarily is to nurture their child, or to nurture their children. And I looked up the dictionary definition of nurture, and it says to care for and protect someone or something while they are growing, to feed or to nourish, and then it also said to mother. So the word nurture and the word mother are completely interchangeable. And we all need nurturing. And we actually all need mothering. Whether we've had it or not, it's something that is really vital to us. So we need physical feeding. A baby needs to be fed. They cry and they tell you when they're hungry and they demand feeding. And that's vital for a baby to grow and to develop. And it continues to be part of what we need. We need to be fed. But also our soul also needs to be fed. So it's not just our physical body, but our soul. And our soul flourishes when we have nurture and care. And without nurture, a child will fail to thrive. So adequate nurture leads to healthy development of self-worth. Children also need safety. They need a safe place to grow. They need a safe place to live. They need somewhere where their physical needs are going to be met. They need food, they need warmth, they need clothing, they need medicine if they're unwell. They need all of those basic things that help them to survive and to thrive. But also, they actually need their mother to be a safe place. They need their mother to be predictable, stable, caring, understanding, and danger-free, which is a really big ask for somebody, particularly when you've got a newborn baby. It's a really scary thing. Suddenly the responsibility of this tiny child is yours and you have to meet all of their needs. And it's a massive responsibility. And I remember really wanting children. I've always, even when I was small, I wanted children. I just knew that this was part of who I was. It was what I wanted. But actually the reality of having my own child was enormous and scary and just like, oh my goodness, this small person is completely dependent on me and Jeremy. But it felt like enormous. So it's very likely that there are going to be some issues with your mother feeling like a safe place, because they will have to go through the process of learning how to do this. But what happens is that if a child does feel safe, they will then cope better with the challenges of a dangerous world, because they get born into this world that is completely alien. You know, they don't know anything. All sorts of things could happen. But a safe mother helps a child to cope. What a mother also needs to provide is touch and affection. And we all need physical touch and affection. And mothers have a primary role in providing this for their infants. You know, you cuddle your child, you have to hold them to feed them, ideally. It's just essential. And it says that doctors have proven scientifically, without regular doses of affectionate touching, the body and the emotions become unhealthy. We need about 13 touches a day, which they don't have to be. They can just be a pat on the shoulder, you know, a handshake. It doesn't have to be like a massive hold or a 10-minute hug. But without touch, unfortunately, our skin withers and wrinkles. So in the 1900s, a study was done showing that if people are not touched on a daily basis, there is a significant increase in diseases such as heart problems, cancer, and arthritis. So touching somebody sends out a signal. It says that they are important, they belong, and that they have value. So it said that we need 2 extended hugs a day to survive, which apparently is 20 seconds, which Deb and I did this the other day, and we counted to 20, and we're like, oh my goodness, this is long. It's like, it's a bit scary. I think we got to like 10, and we're like, are we done now? So, you know, there are people. I mean, I remember when Jeremy's mum was in a nursing home, you know, I thought, when does she get touched? Even when she was actually living at home on her own, she would have carers come in and they would provide meals for her and they possibly would help her get dressed. But when did she have like authentic touches? And I would sort of feel a bit guilty and think, oh, you know, perhaps I should go over every day and give her a hug. But, you know, that's sort of impractical. But there are very many people who just don't get any physical touch day after day after day. We also need physical touch because it's really good for brain development and cognitive development. So it's just an all-round really amazing thing. So I know, I don't know if anybody remembers the images of Romanian orphans in the orphanages, and they would have like row after row after row of cots and all these very small, you know, children up to the age of 5 just in the cots. And the only times they ever got touched was if they had their nappies changed, or possibly if they got fed. But you can feed a child without physical touch. And what happened was that often those children would die, which is incredible. So if we do not get touched, we do not thrive. You know, I know that there's this new thing now. I mean, I don't know, it's not brand new, but they're saying that particularly with very small premature babies, skin-to-skin touch is absolutely vital. And you see sort of images of tiny babies just in their nappies sort of lying on their mother's or their father's chest with that skin-to-skin touch, and it helps them thrive. And sometimes there's been babies who are like on death's door and they've just had that skin to skin touch, and it is revived them and it's brought them round and they've survived. So it is miraculous and it is essential. So lack of appropriate touch can lead to poor body image and poor self-worth. And it can also lead to us looking for our needs to be met in inappropriate ways. And I'm sure I don't really need to unpack that. But also, inappropriate touch by a parent or a close family member or a friend is so traumatic that we can become fractured and separate the painful memories and hide them away so that they're no longer part of us. So just as good touch and healthy touch is vital to us, actually because of that, unhealthy touch is incredibly damaging. And if your mother has not protected you from that, that is just a wound that is really difficult to be healed from, but we know that God can heal us. So we also need mothers to be present and attentive. A child needs to be known and understood. A child needs to be celebrated. They need their successes to be celebrated, and they need to be supported when life is difficult for them. I know now in the age of Facebook and people putting things on Facebook, you know, it's another way that we can actually celebrate. I know that, again, Deb puts things on about her grandchildren, and it's a celebration of what they do, and it's like a validation of this, you know, this child has done something amazing and I want to tell the world because it's incredible. And, you know, it's just incredible that it's like... But even if you don't do it, even if it's just a private thing, children need to be recognised. They need to be seen. And a mother's role is to encourage their child individually and to celebrate their uniqueness, because children get their sense of self-worth through play, through having fun together, and they need their parent, they need their mother to help them interpret what they're feeling. You know, sometimes you see a child and they're lost and they're cross and they don't know what's going on. And it's like they just need their mother to tell them what they're feeling, what's going on. They need that interpretation of what life looks like. And they need that attention to help them develop. So the investment of a mother's time and attention shows a child that they are liked, that they are enjoyed, and they are wanted. So when we experience being consistently wanted early in life, we are more easily able to move into other relational settings. And it stops us from wondering if we belong or not. So our ability to relate to other people starts with that primary relationship that we have with our mother. So an emotional development comes from a mother investing in a child and a child also investing in their mother. So in order to develop emotionally, physically, intellectually and socially, we need not only to be loved, but to love. We need an object of affection. We need to be taught how to love. We need to be taught how to relate. So love fills us up and determines our outlook on others and on the world. So a safe mother leads to hope and optimism, but an unsafe mother can lead to isolation or hatred, including self-hatred. So most mothers are not completely dysfunctional, but also none of them are completely perfect. We have all been mothered, if we had a mother, by women who in some way or other abused or neglected us. We've all had areas in our lives where we didn't get enough. And then "I am not getting enough" from other people is often translated into "I am not enough," which can lead to feelings of inferiority, that can lead to you hiding or underachieving, or it can lead to a drivenness to fill that empty gap with love, recognition, or material things. The good news is that God can mother us in the areas where we need mothering. And so we're going to just, if it's possible, we're going to just quickly watch a song that I literally found yesterday. If we're talking about testimonies, one of the... affirmations that Carrie gave me was that everything I need comes to me. And I was just I was looking for songs. I was trying to find something that was appropriate, and I just couldn't. And then suddenly on my Facebook feed, somebody else had posted this song, and I looked at it, and I was like, ah, that is exactly what I was looking for. Never seen anything like this before. But this is a song about a good mother. So this is what a good mother should feel like. Apart from the fact that they don't want their child to go. And one of the really important aspects of a mother is that they let their children go. But just if you want to watch this one and just see what a mother should be like.
Here's to you. You were pink or blue, but everything I wanted. Here's to you, never sleeping through from midnight till the morning. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were trying to free your fingers from my hand, 'cause you could do it on your own now.
So, the ideal is that our parents are our biggest fans. And they celebrate us and they want to just cherish every moment. But that may not be the reality of what you've experienced. And that may not be how you were able to parent yourself. But I'm going to just read Psalm 139. It's quite long and I'm just going to go through it. But this is God talking to us. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You've examined my innermost being with your loving gaze. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul and understand my every thought before it enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare my way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you imparted a father's blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings wonder and strength. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and you wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even shaped every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me, before I'd ever seen the light of day. The number of days you planned for me were all recorded in your book. Every single moment you were thinking of me, how precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought, O God. Your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on the shore. When I awake each morning, you're still thinking of me. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. So God's love and his care and his knowledge of us is incredible. And it says that even if we have go to the dark places, he's with us. Even if we have pain in our lives, he's there to heal us. So I thought it'd be really good to, having sort of possibly brought up some areas of pain, to actually deal with them. So I forgot to ask, is it possible to play Sam's new song? Samuel wrote a song called Father Heart, but when I talked to him, he said it would be just as good for mothers too, so we're going for that one. So what I'd like you to do is just to close your eyes and just step into that place of imagination. Some of you may find this easy and some of you may just have to enter that place by faith. And when I was just praying about this and asking God to show me where to go with this, what I saw was a dome, like a dome of mother love over us. And it's got a floor as well. So there is a foundation of mother love and mother care and mother nature underneath us. And so if I can just ask you to imagine yourself in that dome. And for some of you, you may not have had a mother at all, and you may not even feel that there is any mother love in your life at all. So just ask God to create a framework over you of his love, his mother love for you. And as I was looking at these domes, what I saw was that they were quite damaged. There were things stuck to the domes that shouldn't be there, things that your mother did to you that she shouldn't have done, the words that she spoke to you, perhaps she hit you, you know, there were perhaps she was violent towards you, or she just said things that were just not helpful. So there may be things attached to your mother love dome that you don't want them to be there anymore. But also I saw that quite a lot of these domes were just holy. Some of them had big holes, some of them had small holes, but actually there were big gaps in your mother love dome, that of areas where your mother just didn't provide what you needed. But what we're going to do is, with this dome around you, we're going to step into the creative, loving heart of God. And we're going to step into that place of complete acceptance, of complete knowing. And when we're in that place, what I'm going to ask the Father, what I'm going to ask God, the Trinity, to do, is to show you areas where he will remove the darkness, areas of pain that he wants to calm now, and just with his power and with his love to take away. It may be that he will work on more than one thing, or it may be that he'll just focus on one area of pain that you've been carrying this whole time. And God is going to come in his mercy, and he's going to remove that pain. And also, he's going to fill in the gaps, areas where you feel you have lack. And he's going to fill in those gaps with his love and his delight. But we need to go through a process to enable God to work with us. So again, I'm going to declare that this is a safe place. That whatever happens in the next few minutes, God is going to hold you. He's going to protect you. He's going to be with you in this process. And you will need to forgive your mother or your lack of mother. But first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand on behalf of your mother, whether you knew her or whether you didn't. And I am going to apologize for her, because I am a mother and I can represent your mother. And I'm going to say that I am sorry for all the ways that I've failed you. I am sorry for not meeting your needs. I'm sorry for not loving you in the way that you needed to be loved. I'm sorry for not giving you the care that you needed. I'm sorry that I've left you with wounding. And what I'd like you to do by faith, if you can, is just say, in your heart, or if you need to say it out loud, is just say, Mum, I forgive you. And you may need to be specific about the things that you're forgiving her for. And it may be really difficult. This may be the first time you've ever done this. And it's not a complete work, it's a process. So you may just feel that this is the first step on the journey. but just extend that forgiveness to her. Because when you forgive her, actually what you do is you bless yourself. You enable yourself. You release yourself from that pain. You release yourself from that lack. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to just go through that process. So for some of you, this may be the first time that you've ever even thought about mother wounds. It may be something that you've shelved and not even wanted to look at, or you've known there's been pain but you haven't been able to connect what it's to do with. Or for others of you, it may be that you've been on a journey of this for a long time and it's just part of the process, and it's just one more step on the journey of healing and restoration. But if you need any help, if something has been highlighted that you just don't feel you can deal with on your own and you need help, then please ask somebody. But just trust that God is on your case and he is there wanting to bring you to a place of wholeness. Because the more we get whole, the better we can be at being caring and loving to other people. So thank you. And I think Jeremy's going to lead us in a couple of songs. We'll see where we go from here.
Never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. See, your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. No, your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Out on me. No, your love never fails.
Stay in the place that you are. But I, obviously this morning has been identifying those areas where we have been broken and wounded, and God wants to bring healing into those areas. And what I feel, a way that we can do that this morning is, as Jeremy continues to play, is breathe in really deeply. And I believe as you breathe in, you're going to be breathing in God's love and God's healing. And as you breathe out, you're going to be breathing out pain and wounds. So God never wants to leave us in a process where we're like, wounded, broken and damaged. So if you feel you need some help, please ask someone to stand with you. But I do believe, I can see that as we breathe in, you can be breathing in love to touch you. Like, take really deep breaths to touch you in those places. And as you breathe out, you are releasing pain and brokenness.
Thank you.
want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to know you.
this morning when I sort of, you know, engaged the day and, you know, engaged God. Sometimes I get these flashes and, you know, it's God speaking to me, but sometimes I don't know what they were, what they mean. Often, sometimes years ago, something that I've sort of almost like, I've done a scene or something like that, you know, written. And then years later, it makes sense what it really means. And this morning I got Child's Puzzle. Child's Puzzle. And then I got the interpretation there. And that is that God is giving us a puzzle. See what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. We're his children. And what father doesn't give his children good gifts? And he's given us a puzzle. And it really is a puzzle, I can tell you. But, you know, this is the mystery of God. And yet, he's given us it to, you know, not so as we get all stressed out about it and start to think, well, how are we going to work this out? Because you can't work it out. But he will give you the puzzle and he will reveal it to you, really. I guess a kid, you know, if he gets a puzzle, he can't do it. Dad comes along and says, oh, look, you know, there you go. Is that you do it? Well, that's what God's saying to us at the moment, I believe. It's a real puzzle, you know, but it'll all work out because he'll show us how to do it.
want to know.